You're listening to part two of chapter 7, Stress and Anxiety, from the book Depression, The Way Out by Dr. Neil Nedley. Let's now look at some of the social effects of stress. Social effects of stress. With stress taxing one's physical, mental, and financial resources, it should come as no surprise that there are profound social effects of stress. In fact, the social effects of stress are so well accepted in our culture that stress is typically used as an excuse for impaired social interactions. Just reflect for a minute on a typical excuse you've heard. I'm sorry, I had a hard day at work. Or, forgive me, the baby kept me awake all last night. Regarding these social effects of stress, chronic stress may present different dangers at a different time in our life cycle. Such research has disturbing implications for the cycle of abuse that is often seen in families where those who are under stress from being abused ultimately become abusers themselves. Stress and the brain. Stress can affect essentially every level of self, physical, social, spiritual, and mental. It is the last of these four domains, that of mental health, where the effects of stress often produce the greatest cause for concern. The state of our mental health determines who we are. Without good mental health, our quality of life severely suffers in the physical, social, and spiritual domains. Stress has also been linked to certain types of dissociative states, such as losing touch with your surroundings while daydreaming, or something as major as memory disorders in which you block out whole chapters of your life. In fact, a recent report suggests that out-of-body, near-death experiences may be manifestations of a dramatic dissociative state. Dissociative states commonly occur as a result of major life stresses. During dissociation, affected individuals perceive that their mind is detached from their emotional state or even their body. Dissociative states can happen to anyone in the right circumstances. Such an occurrence does not necessarily indicate mental instability. The evidence indicates that out-of-body, near-death experiences are much more suggestive of altered mental states than they are of some type of spiritual experience. The brain can become astonishingly altered from extreme stress, trauma, or lack of oxygen. A discussion of stress and the mental processes would not be complete without mentioning substance abuse. There is no question that drugs of abuse take a major toll on the mental faculties. Although substance abuse is often an adult problem, society's sympathies are most aroused when we expand the discussion to children. Indeed, drugs have become a great concern for parents. Though programs to prevent drug abuse abound, medical research suggests that one very valuable strategy is often overlooked. Helping children to better cope with stressors may decrease their risk of future substance abuse. Damaging effects of stress, putting it all together. We've seen the broad range of effects of stress. I've only highlighted the tip of the iceberg regarding the enormous physical, mental, and social toll exacted by stress. Only a small part of the research on this subject has been mentioned in this chapter. The healthcare community tends to allow stress-related health problems to be overshadowed by other diseases, but my analysis and experience indicates that stress plays a major role in aggravating disease and lowering the quality of life for millions of people. From this perspective, it is especially important to note recent research findings drawing from a database of over 45,000 employees. Although smoking, obesity, high blood pressure, and diabetes all help to increase average annual health care expenses, Dr. Ron Z. Gotzel and colleagues published a startling discovery in 1998. In a study of health care costs, two areas outstripped all other health risk factors that were considered: depression and stress. Specifically, average medical costs per year were a dramatic 70.2% higher for workers who reported depression. Regarding those who had high stress levels, their average annual health care bill was 46.3% higher than their less stressed peers. Research such as this is beginning to be noticed by those who control the health care pocketbooks. Insurers, HMOs, employers, and others who write many of the health care checks are taking note. Truly, the broad-reaching effects of stress underscore an important point. Every one of us should be highly motivated to embrace a twofold strategy. First, do what we can to control the stressors we face. Second, when faced with stressors that we cannot control, learn to manage stress in the most constructive way possible. Anxiety disorders. Thus far, we've learned that stress can cause serious changes in our level of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. We now turn our attention to anxiety disorders, which are a group of mental disorders brought about by stress. When stressors persist, they can cause anxiety. You will remember that one of the instantaneous reactions to a sudden stressor is an increase in mental activity. Our brains are programmed with a capacity to make split-second life-or-death decisions when we are stressed. Long after the stressor is gone, however, it can persist in our minds. For example, a traumatic life experience such as rape, war, or a natural disaster can remain a mental stressor for years after the event transpired. When stressors persist on any level, they can cause anxiety. It's important to note that not all stressors are sufficient to cause an anxiety disorder, even if they are perpetuated. But for those who have a genetic predisposition to such a condition, long-term unresolved stress may provide fertile soil in which an anxiety disorder can germinate. So important are anxiety disorders, and so great is the toll, with some 19 million Americans affected, that we need to look at these conditions in detail. Anxiety disorders are true illnesses. They are the most common of all mental disorders, and they vary widely in severity. On one hand, there may be frequent feelings of anxiety with relatively little apparent disruption in a person's life. At the other extreme, bouts of profound anxiety can occur that terrify and immobilize the sufferer. I do not present here an exhaustive study of these disorders, but certain information deserves our attention. Note that these disorders are treatable. Anxiety disorders often go underdiagnosed and untreated for years. This is tragic, because prescription drug therapies and non-medication strategies can be extremely successful. Note also that self-diagnosis of these kinds of disorders may not be effective. Many individuals may misdiagnose themselves as merely dealing with stress poorly, when in reality, they may have a much more serious problem. Anxiety disorders are a bona fide psychiatric condition. They are best addressed by working with a qualified health professional. Fortunately, there are a number of new insights emerging regarding the treatment of anxiety. I will share a number of these insights to provide a better understanding of treatment options and underlying causes. An unfortunate feature of anxiety disorders is the company that they keep. About half of those who have a generalized anxiety disorder also have either a second anxiety disorder or depression. An awareness of a possible second disorder may help one look for indications of its presence. How can I recognize an anxiety disorder? There are five main forms of anxiety disorders. The National Institute of Mental Health, a component of the Federal National Institutes of Health, provides a brief overview of these disorders in a year 2000 publication. Despite these identifying characteristics, people with anxiety disorders typically do not appear to the untrained eye to have a major psychiatric problem. The types of anxiety disorders are generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, phobias, and obsessive-compulsive disorder. Despite these identifying characteristics, people with anxiety disorders typically do not appear to the untrained eye to have a major psychiatric problem. For example, an individual with a generalized anxiety disorder may appear to be simply a worrywart. Often, the individual is totally oblivious to the fact that he has a diagnosable psychiatric condition that can be treated. The afflicted person may say, "I always thought I was just a worrier. I'd feel keyed up and unable to relax. At times it would come and go, at other times it would be constant. It would go on for days. I'd worry about what I was going to fix for a dinner party or what would be a greater present for somebody. I just couldn't let something go. Sometimes I'd feel a little lightheaded. My heart would race or pound, and that would make me worry more." Let's look closely at each of the five forms of anxiety disorders. Generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD. GAD, the first one on the list, usually does not cause significant impairment. Affected individuals typically function quite well in society. The good news about this condition is that most people tend to grow out of it. Typically, symptoms seem to become less severe with age. However, debilitating causes of GAD can occur. Medication therapy and non-drug therapy may each be helpful. Buspar, a prescription drug, may provide some help. However, 5 non-drug therapies have also proven effective. They're called cognitive behavioral therapy, regular physical exercise, biofeedback, relaxation techniques, and spiritual focus therapy. The last 4 treatments are explained in Chapter 8. Caution should be used in taking drug therapy. There are at least 3 reasons why it may be a mistake to take this seemingly easiest route. First, it can take up to several weeks before buspirone produces any benefit. Second, it can cause a number of disconcerting side effects, including dizziness, drowsiness, and nausea. Third, there are concerns about worsening of GAD when the drug is stopped. Many patients are generally not interested in a lifetime of medication if other strategies can address their problem. Other brain chemicals play a role in anxiety pathways. 2 critical ones are serotonin and gamma-aminobutyric acid, or GABA. Both of these compounds are called inhibitory transmitters. They have the ability to dampen brain pathways that are involved in stress and anxiety. Further reinforcing the accuracy of these connections are a number of medications that can boost serotonin levels. In many cases, these drugs not only can alleviate depression, but can also help ease the effects of anxiety disorders. Fortunately, we are not dependent on medications only to boost our levels of this vital brain chemical. In Chapters 4 and 5, I give a number of ways in which you can improve serotonin levels in your brain. The important message is that even if you are not depressed, you may find that you can better combat the everyday stresses and anxieties of life if you pay attention to these serotonin-boosting strategies. Drug treatment strategies are emerging that target other chemical messengers in the brain. Promising treatments are emerging that increase gamma-aminobutyric acid levels in order to reduce anxiety and panic attacks. Another brain chemical called substance P also appears to play a role in mood disorders. Preliminary work suggests that medications to block the effects of this compound may help reduce both anxiety and depression. Panic disorder. The second form of anxiety disorder is panic disorder. What is panic disorder? It is a condition wherein individuals experience what is called a panic attack. They feel like they're losing control or going crazy, or may have strong feelings of impending doom. Physical symptoms of panic disorder include pounding heart, chest pains, sweating, lightheadedness or dizziness, trembling or quivering, nausea or other stomach problems, shortness of breath, and numbness or tingling. In its least disturbing form, panic disorders cause particularly troubling symptoms. Panic attacks are not limited to those who have panic disorder. Such attacks occasionally occur in people who are free of mental illness. They also commonly accompany other psychiatric conditions such as social phobias, generalized anxiety disorder, and major depression. To be diagnosed with panic disorder, a person must have at least 2 unexpected panic attacks and either be worried about future attacks or take precautions to avoid the same. In those with a disorder, the severe anxiety between attacks can actually result in a full-blown phobia. For example, if someone had a panic attack while riding the train, they may develop a fear of trains. Research has revealed familial tendencies to anxiety disorders. Some investigators pin the blame for panic disorders on repeated life stresses in genetically susceptible individuals. It is not yet clear how big a role stress plays in the development of these disorders. Regardless of the mechanism, recent studies suggest that people with panic disorder may have a lower threshold for activating their mechanisms for combating stress. Affected individuals tend to subconsciously perceive non-threatening situations as dangerous, and thus their stress systems become activated. Effective non-drug treatment regimens utilize cognitive behavioral therapy. Panic disorders and phobias tend to run together in families. It is important to recognize that panic disorders can progress into phobias, which are 4th on the list of anxiety disorders. Thus, panic symptoms should be addressed early to prevent such progression. Phobias are addressed in the next section. The decision whether or not to seek treatment should not be taken lightly. Untreated panic disorder has been demonstrated to significantly increase the risk of suicide. SSRI medications, such as Paxil, are often effective in treating it. I use benzodiazepine, such as Xanax, short-term for less than 30 days, to help severe life-threatening panic disorder until the SSRI medication and lifestyle therapies have a chance to work. It is very important for panic disorder patients to recognize that they are not actually having a heart attack, although it often feels like one, and that their severe symptoms will soon pass without having to visit an emergency room. Such reassurance itself can be therapeutic. post-traumatic stress disorder. The name of the third anxiety disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, indicates the primary characteristic of this malady. It typically occurs in individuals who have lived through a severe, emotionally traumatic experience. The typical marks for PTSD are that the victim has lived through a severe emotional experience, has frightening thoughts and memories, these thoughts are triggered by ordinary life events, and that the disease was first seen in shell-shocked war veterans. The victim also tends to avoid situations that trigger uncomfortable memories. Recent research suggests that individuals who suffer from PTSD may be at a higher risk of later engaging in criminal behavior resulting from an aggressive attitude and impaired self-control. Still, other research is uncovering links between PTSD and increased risk of chronic diseases like heart disease. PTSD was first brought to public attention in a very circumscribed context called shell shock in war veterans. This condition now afflicts more than 5 million Americans each year and results from any of a variety of traumatic events. These can include experiencing or seeing others traumatized by rape or sexual abuse or other criminalized victimization, natural disasters such as hurricanes or earthquakes, and serious car wrecks or other transportation-related injuries. PTSD is not an inevitable result of severe stressors. Even among those exposed to extreme trauma, only about 9% actually develop PTSD. However, even some 20 years after combat exposure, rates approach 15% in groups such as Vietnam veterans. The fact that not all traumatized individuals develop PTSD underscores one of the most important aspects of stress theory. Genetic factors, personal coping styles, and other social factors all seem to have an impact on whether or not PTSD develops. Even when individuals develop PTSD, they often do not have all of the characteristics of the disorder, and the length and extent of their recovery is also variable. Approximately 50% of affected individuals recover fully within 6 months. On the other extreme, some patients are dogged by the condition for decades or even the rest of their lives. The option for treatment depends on the nature of the problems associated with any given case of PTSD. If depression and sleeping difficulties are present, antidepressant and/or anxiety-reducing medications may be prescribed. PTSD is another anxiety disorder where cognitive behavioral therapy typically forms an important part of the treatment. As pointed out earlier, strong social support, such as building better ties to family, friends, and the community, may also help to ease PTSD symptoms. Although the untreated condition can be ongoing, treatment can result in rapid improvement of the condition. One study of rape-induced PTSD found that 12 behavioral therapy non-drug sessions are sufficient to alleviate most PTSD symptoms in the majority of patients. It's important to point out the variability in PTSD and its related symptoms from one afflicted person to another. For example, recent research suggests that the passage of time may work better at healing certain aspects of this disorder than others. Researchers studied the lives of 78 Armenians who were among the thousands who experienced a major earthquake and extreme political violence in the late 1980s. They found that the symptoms of depression traced to traumatic events tended to resolve over time. However, other symptoms of post-traumatic stress did not improve over a 3-year course. The Armenians' experience is instructive, but not necessarily typical of others who have PTSD. The Armenians were constantly surrounded by reminders of prior traumatic events, buildings destroyed by the earthquake, media reports of ongoing political violence, etc. In many cases of PTSD, there may be numerous triggers of the distressing memories, but direct, tangible reminders of the actual traumatic event are often not present. One of the greatest tragedies with a treatable anxiety disorder like PTSD is the lengthy time delay before patients seek treatment. The average delay is 8 years. Phobias. Phobias are characterized by extreme irrational fear. One example is extreme fear of spiders. Specific phobias like this are common, striking more than 1 in 10 people. Depending on how easy it is to avoid the source of the phobia, the disorder may or may not be particularly debilitating. However, if the object that is feared is frequently encountered, affected individuals may seriously alter their lives in an attempt to deal with her condition. Further complicating the natural history of phobias is the fact that only about 20% of adult phobias are resolved without treatment. Unlike many of the anxiety disorders, Specific phobias generally do not result from exposure to a single stressful event. More typically, the stressor is an attitude communicated by other family members or close friends. It is not hard to imagine that a mother with an inordinate fear of spiders or thunderstorms is likely to pass that same irrational fear to her children. In contrast to specific phobias, there are also social phobias. Social phobias are characterized by being inappropriately afraid or uncomfortable in specific social situations. These phobias can be markedly intensified by an experience of public embarrassment or some other stressful experience in public. Fortunately, effective treatments exist for phobias, as we saw in the case of other anxiety disorders. Treatment includes gradual exposure to what the victim fears, slow deep breathing from the diaphragm, MAO inhibitors for social phobias, beta blockers for social phobias, cognitive behavioral therapy, and anti-anxiety herbs or drugs. Once phobias are diagnosed, specific cognitive behavioral therapy techniques may be helpful. One technique exposes the patient to the phobic situation in small incremental steps. Non-drug cognitive behavioral therapy, either alone or with additional medications, such as antidepressants or anti-anxiety drugs, known as benzodiazepines, can completely prevent panic attacks in 70 to 90% of sufferers. CBT and related therapies typically bring significant improvement within 8 weeks. No medications have emerged for treating specific phobias. However, when it comes to social phobias, some medications have proved effective, including antidepressants called MAO inhibitors. Also, a class of drugs called beta blockers has helped a specific form of social phobia called performance phobia. These drugs have become popular among performers, such as entertainers, who may take the drugs before a concert. Another application of CBT is the use of breathing exercises. Proper or diaphragmatic breathing focuses on slow, deep breaths that rely on the diaphragm, the large muscle that separates the chest and abdominal cavities. Such deep breaths can combat a common relative of anxiety, taking rapid, shallow breaths. Rapid breathing is itself problematic, since it can dramatically decrease carbon dioxide levels in the blood and result in dizziness or fainting, tingling of the mouth and fingers, and muscle spasms. About 75% of patients improve significantly with such CBT approaches. Obsessive-compulsive disorder. Obsessive-compulsive disorder is a disorder with two obvious characteristics, obsession and compulsion. A classic example would be an inordinate fear of germs, which is addressed by repeated meticulous hand-washing that far exceeds any normal health concern. Fear of germs is the obsession, and the repetitive hand-washing is the compulsion. The disturbing obsession is perceived as a problem that must be fixed, and it results in a compulsive attempt to solve it. We are not talking about normal concerns for hygiene or safety. If the activities associated with the disorder consume at least an hour a day and are very distressing to the point of interfering with daily life, it qualifies as a case of obsessive-compulsive disorder. The progression of OCD varies with the individual victim. The classic behavioral therapy for OCD is called exposure and response prevention. In this treatment, the OCD sufferer is exposed to a situation that is the focus of the obsession and then is assisted in avoiding the usual ritual. Regarding pharmaceuticals, drugs that increase brain serotonin levels have demonstrated effectiveness. These include anaphrenil, as well as a group of antidepressant drugs known as selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Among the SSRIs are the popular drugs like Celexa, Prozac, Lovox, Paxil, and Zoloft. In a recent press release from the National Institute for Mental Health, some interesting observations on the treatments of obsessive-compulsive disorder were made. Drugs that boost brain serotonin levels helped 75 to 80% of patients dramatically. However, the researchers report that it is most fascinating that they see at least the same amount of improvement with non-drug behavioral treatments. Summary of insights on anxiety disorders. It is no surprise that a number of standard therapies for anxiety disorders involve medications. Nevertheless, I want to reemphasize one of my themes, that lifestyle therapies can often have profound effects on brain chemistry. The value of non-drug cognitive behavioral therapy in many of the anxiety disorders testifies to the fact that there are options for treatment in the mental health arena besides drug regimens. Unfortunately, among those doing treatment research, there is not as much interest in dietary approaches and lifestyle therapies as there is in medication strategies. Why is this so? It is a direct result of the huge amounts of money and resources that pharmaceutical companies pour into the hands of medical researchers. There are few, if any, powerful players that have a vested commercial interest in people doing more walking or other exercises or eating more fruits and vegetables. Even though the amount of research on drug treatments for anxiety disorders far exceeds the research on lifestyle treatments, these non-drug therapies have been shown to be practical and effective without the inevitable risk of side effects caused by medication. Until more controlled research is done, I would recommend that those inclined to utilize lifestyle therapies for anxiety disorder should work with qualified medical practitioners to carefully monitor their progress. By all means, if you are on medication for an anxiety disorder, do not stop it abruptly. Even if you no longer need the medication, drugs that affect brain chemistry should be gradually decreased in dosage, and that process should be conducted with expert professional advice. Our growing understanding of anxiety disorders is that they can be serious conditions, but are often very open to treatment. Therapies of documented benefit include both medication regimens and non-drug behavioral techniques. I'm convinced that many of the lifestyle approaches for depression documented in this book may also offer significant promise for anxiety disorders. In dealing with either one of these conditions, I recommend a competent medical practitioner who would include lifestyle therapies as part of the treatment program. Depression links with stress, anxiety, and suicide. Major depression in one family member typically exerts major stressors on other family members. As the Surgeon General's report on mental health aptly expressed, disability and suffering from major depression are not limited to the patient. Spouses, children, parents, siblings, and friends experience frustration, guilt, anger, financial hardship, and on occasion, physical abuse in their attempts to lessen or cope with the depressed person's suffering. Anxiety commonly accompanies major depression. Among individuals with a diagnosis of major depression, almost half of them also have full-blown anxiety. The fact that anxiety and depression so often go hand in hand has led many researchers to propose that these conditions have common causative factors. Levels of serotonin in the brain are of great interest. As we've seen, many anxiety disorders are improved by medications that boost levels of serotonin hormone. The importance of serotonin is more fully presented in Chapter 8. What about suicide? Does anxiety lead to suicide? We learned in Chapter 2 that depression is a major factor leading to suicide. Depression may result in loss of the will to live and may or may not lead to suicide. However, some degree of anxiety, frustration, or stress may push a depressed person over the brink and result in an attempted or completed suicide. In conclusion, in this chapter, we've studied several mental disorders. We've learned that stress, a common disorder, can lead to anxiety, which has five separate but related disorders. We have seen that each of these disorders can inflict damage to many parts of the body, aggravate or even bring on a wide variety of diseases, and lower the quality of life for millions of people. The importance of recognizing the disorders and the features by which they can be identified were presented, along with effective treatments. The treatments include non-medication therapies, various counseling techniques, and prescription drugs. The message of this chapter can be summarized as follows. 1, stress and anxiety are more prevalent in our society than in former times, and they continue to increase year by year. 2, they inflict serious and sometimes fatal physical damage to our bodies. 3, new types of treatments can be effective with a minimum use of prescription drugs in many instances. The next chapter is a continuation of the subject matter of this one. Here, we will look at additional treatments for stress and anxiety that are in the category of self-help. Also, cautions in taking certain popular drugs used to treat stress and anxiety are pointed out. Lifestyle factors are presented that are amazingly effective in combating these mental disorders.
You've been listening to Depression: The Way Out by Dr. Neil Nedley. Copyright 2014. To purchase this or other books by Dr. Nedley, or to learn more about their 10-day residential or their 8-week community programs, visit www.nedleyhealthsolutions.com.